So I guess, you know what, since Gateways is the one who brought this to the class, we'll just start with Gateways.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about Asgore car theory.
Well, truck theory. Let's be truck reasonable theory. Here.
Asgore Ford F-150 theory.
Asgore the incident theory. What did you call it? Seven cold beers? What was it?
Yeah. Asgore after drinking the seven cold beers.
It's just funny because she's a deer. That's like, I just, there doesn't need to be more than that. Like, we, like, obviously there's so much, but it's just the concept of really drunk man hits a deer in the road is funny.
Mm-hmm. And all, like, you really need. And then being Asgore Deltarune, who otherwise is like, wow, I'm so cuddly and fluffy, and I make flowers, and look, I'm trying to reconnect my family, and it's just like underneath it all.
He has to have killed at least one child in every world.
Yeah, he does murder children. That is a core part of his characteristics. So I feel like, you know, it crosses over to Deltarune for sure.
He also doesn't actively want to do it. Like, it's different ways of doing that either way. But, like, you know, he wasn't going out of his way to kill Bess. Mm-hmm. He was just drunk and driving his truck. He didn't want to kill the humans, but he had to for his people. These are exactly equivalent.
I think he drunk the beer so he could get his courage up to do it. He was thinking about it for a long time.
He wanted to do it, so he already didn't like Des, is what you're getting at.
Yeah, I'm saying...
This is an angle that I don't think anyone has looked at, but what if... No, actually, none of this is good. Hold on.
No, you started saying it. You made your bed.
Yeah, you're stuck in here.
Asgore didn't approve of Des dating Asriel.
No, this is awesome. This is good. I like this.
You correctly solved the.
But I'm like, they literally got together on family occasions. Why would he not be okay with it? Yeah, popcorn.
He's awesome.
Maybe he doesn't like that Des smokes weed.
Yeah, that is canonical.
That is canonical. Hold on.
We might have found something because we also know he used to be a cop.
Yeah.
So true. And
that is true.
Cops notoriously love drinking and driving. This is, yeah.
Of course, the other angle here is that the weed was actually planted evidence.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fascinating. Here's my angle. What if Asgore is deeply in the closet about how much he's into Rudy? And as a result, is violently homophobic.
Sure.
And that caused him to run over Des, who is in a straight relationship with Ezra.
That's not, I don't think that's canon. I'm pretty sure that's not canon.
You're pretty sure that, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's not canon.
Well, who do you think Des was dating, so if anyone?
So, are you saying that this is now a lesbian Asriel theory?
No, I don't think they were dating. Like,
I know. Okay, wait. We're getting to like she has like some of Asriel's stuff in her room.
She has a picture of Asriel in her room.
That's true.
She also has a retainer and some other stuff.
Okay, but you've seen the art of her. Like, that's at least a bi girly.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, but you've seen Asriel's OC, like, literally is called, like, the rainbow god of
the god of hyperdeath.
Well, okay, I forgot the rainbows in the name, but he's got, like, all that rainbow stuff going on, like...
True. They could be bi for bi.
So true.
You get it. Anyways, Asgore's
homophobic. Where I thought you were going with that is that Asgore, you know, on, like, a night that Carol was working late, went over to Rudy's place and had a few beers. And on the way... See, everyone thinks it's on the road. What if he just backed up over her accidentally?
Yeah, their houses are very close together. It's like... Mm-hmm. It's like it would be in his driveway or her driveway.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about hometown. The roads are very narrow. In the opening scene where Toriel's like driving you to school, she's taking up like both lanes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not safe.
That could just be a quirk of Toriel's car.
But then there's multiple gags where we see like traffic ground to a halt by like a single car.
True.
There is in universe evidence that traffic is difficult to manage in Deltarune Town. Does the town have a name?
Hometown. Lightyears love traffic. They look it up all the time.
here's the next part of the theory is okay. The flowers in Asgore's back seat are a monument to, or like a little memorial to Des. Because he has like in his car, when you go by his house in chapter 4, when he has his car out front, there's just like a pot of flowers in the back seat. And I know he's like a flower guy. That's his whole job. But what if? What if it's just he just keeps it in his car as that is the final resting place of Des, his back seat.
Just like, okay, let me hit you with this. We know he used to be a cop, right? Which implies that he wasn't always a flower salesman. We assume he was not a flower salesman at the same time he was a cop. And we are also assuming that he was discharged from the force for manslaughter. So if we take this leap of logic, then maybe he became a flower salesman as a way of atoning with the symbolism of flowers as like memorial and peace. So maybe it's not just the flowers in the truck, but all of the flowers.
Yeah, I also want to throw something else in there. What is the very first scene in Undertale?
Human falls.
Neither of you played the game?
Oh, wait, no, I was leaving it as an exercise to the reader.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was not actually rhetorical. Asgore in that war, right?
No. You start the game, you've fallen down from Mount Ebbet or whatever onto Asriel's grave, which is all of the like the bed of flowers. Yeah.
That is fair.
Huh. Yeah. And see, this is important because it shows that it's like a parallel to Undertale, because why is the knight so messed up? Obviously, because just like Flowey got messed up from them trying to bring Asriel back to life, mm-hmm. the knight is Des messed up because they tried to bring her back to life after Asgore backed up over her with his Ford F-150 after chugging 3 beers.
I also this section of the theory. 7 cold beers. This part of the theory is really fascinating because it makes you draw a parallel. Because if you're doing the parallel between Asriel from Undertale and Des, it makes you draw a Kara Noel parallel, which like I think tracks based on Weird Route stuff. It's just like this is only canon in the Weird Route. It's like a parallel where both Noelle and Kara are like serial murderers. So there you go. It's parallels all the way down, folks.
Yeah. And okay, because we were talking earlier about, you know, in Undertale, Asgore, he has to kill the children because he believes it's the only way to save the world, right? What if Asgore knows of the prophecy and is like, Des is going to become the knight, so I've got to run her over. It's for the greater good.
Or what if he knows that she's going to become the knight and so wants to run her over because that's a step?
Maybe getting hit by the truck is itself
part of the prophecy.
Do they only have one car in their family? Like Asgore has a car,
and Toriel has a van.
Okay. Do we know when he got the truck? Because maybe he got the truck when he started the business.
It could be. He wouldn't really need a pickup truck for being a police officer.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. Because my thought was awesome. Everyone's making jokes about, like, you know, the king's chariot cannot be stopped. But I'm thinking, what if it's actually part of the process, right? The queen's chariot cannot be stopped. Even if he's driving
it, it's Toriel's car. Chariot. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So what implications do we think this will have for chapter 5?
In my little evidence sheet, my last thing is this idea. Here's the pitch. Death somehow is like transported to the bunker after the events of the Seven Cold Beers. Somehow becomes the Night, because we all know Death's Night is true. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100.
We're all friends here.
Death's Night. So here's the pitch. The entirety of the Roaring Knight's actions are specifically to torment and torture Asgore for her brutal murder, culminating in the fact that Asgore has the Shadow Crystal for World 5, and everyone who has held the Shadow Crystal has gone insane, other than Gerson. Gerson's the goat. What if she wants to make Asgore go insane, realizing that he has no purpose in the world, and then via the prophecy sentence him to like eternal torment or whatever the card was.
I believe this because, you know, where have the dark worlds opened up? Well, we know that the Knight wants Toriel, right? That was clear from chapter 3, but also the dark worlds opened up at, you know, the school and the library. So, you know, maybe trying to fuck with Chris, you know? And so it's now like, yeah, your kid works for me, you know, after you ran me over and killed me. And, you know, I schwarped up your bitch wife with my hand beam. And then now your kid is working for me. How about that?
Let me hit you with this. So we know that there's a police badge icon on the shelter. And we learn that the chief of police has access to something related to the shelter codes, right? We also know that Asgore used to be on the police force. And we hear the dialogue from Chris's phone that says, "Police sacrifice tomorrow," potentially implying that someone on the police force being killed could itself be relevant for some sort of prophecy thing. This could be a case of, if the Knight, for whatever reason, maybe needs another police officer or can't kill Undyne because she's too strong or something, maybe that's why, maybe she's going for Asgore in Chapter 5 because of that. And if we go through that route, maybe it could even be that, you know, the Knight wants to kill the police officer, but not specifically anyone. The Knight specifically wants to do that because she has a grudge against Asgore for Asgore hitting her with his truck. That's my police badge theory.
It could also be Des was like, we know Des was super rebellious in life, so it could be that she was just really hard on the ACAB thing. And it's not even I need to kill every police officer. Naps to blow cure next.
She's all chapters, all bosses, dude.
Oh my god. Okay.
I just wonder. There was one other note I made, which is at the end of chapter 4, I think we see that Chris is like very visibly uncomfortable with Toriel being drunk. What if it's because alcohol led to the death of their dear friend? I don't know. Alcohol. Listen, that could be anything. Alcohol seems to be very personally uncomfortable for Chris, based on that whole walk sequence. Like,
look here. Could be Asgore. Let me hit you with another. Like, this is even deeper theory, right? Which is, lots of people assumed that the person talking to Chris on the phone was Carol. And that Carol is the Knight, which we all know isn't true because Des is the Knight. However, it doesn't mean that Des had to be the one talking to them on the phone. Because the person talking to Chris on the phone said, "I'll be there shortly." And then, you know, who shows up to interrupt Asgore? To interrupt Noelle and Susie? Yeah, Asgore. Now, you might be wondering, why would Asgore do this when he's in the same house as Chris? Don't worry about it. This is leading to, at the end of chapter 4, when he's like, Chris, you promised, don't forget. That's Asgore coming home and being like, oh my god, we're all accomplices now. That's why Toriel's like, damn. Like, I'm not going to rat you out, but I can't be married to someone I know is a... And that's why Chris is like, oh my god, I promised that I wouldn't, like, you know, let out the secret that my dad killed our dear friend. Yeah. I'm going to take the silence.
I like this.
We're
basking.
I think you're right, is the thing.
I think this is all going to happen.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We're after chapter 6, we're going to get the option to play chapter 0, and we play an increasingly drunk Asgore. After like 5 beers, we no longer control his character. Or like we can only jerk him around, and he'll move like Chris. Like he'll move on his own a little.
Yeah, and see this plays into the themes of control that we're already seeing with Chris and the soul. This is really like this alcohol theme that we saw with Queen and we saw with Toriel, and we're going to see with Asgore. You know, the control you have over your own body and what you can do with it, and that sense of agency, that's really crucial to the game. So I think that that's another big reason why him specifically being drunk when he hits Des is really, really important.
Yeah, I think it also makes it more important that Des is so sick. Like, I think the choice to have Des having weed in her drawer is like a symbolic choice. as a differential of the alcohol kind of brigade as the lack of control. Des has found her own control by being the knight in a metaphorical way, weed to alcohol.
That's so fucking true, actually, is that the knight is actually like blazed out of her mind in that helmet.
She like
that's
the
why,
you know, like, when she,
wait,
when she
that's
laughs,
why she was
like,
laughing
little,
at Susie.
Yeah,
it was not like because
that's why she
was,
leaves the after images when
coughing.
She bobs up and down. That's just smoke.
And wait, that's also why because a big thing is like, okay, if the knight is actually at the church for Toriel, right? Why don't they just leave because Toriel's not there? What are they doing hanging around? Why do they take so long to open up the fountain? It's because, you know, they're just really, like, high, you know? When we see them, like, after doing, like, the first half of the Dark World, they're just staring at a glass window. They're probably like, damn. The way the light goes through that window? Whoa.
No, they were stoned out of their mind listening to Dark Sanctuary on repeat for hours.
Yes, yes.
Wait, okay,
so
okay, okay. I have a new weed theory. So there's a classic trope of when you're high, you start thinking differently about like the world and things, and you start thinking about, you know, you get very spiritual, some people do, and you think about like the nature of reality.
Dude,
and Deltarune is all about layers of reality. That's what I'm saying. And you know what happens when you plunge your blade into the earth and you create a dark fountain? You know what comes out? You come, it's fucking smoke. Smoke comes out of the ground.
Oh my god, it does.
So you're pitching that it's not like a fantasy metaphor, it's a metaphor for specifically like wacky weed dreams.
Yes. That is exactly what I'm dreaming.
But also that makes because the knight, the reason the knight's giving out those dark, I almost said dank crystals.
Wait, hold on. Don't forget I'm with you in the dank.
Raise your burning bat up high is actually, it's talking about a pipe. It's talking about a giant.
The chapter 2 Rolsei memes are all coming back around.
Oh my god.
When in the night fight, the dialogue your head hurts is specifically because you just have a weed headache.
Wait, that's all of it. Like, you feel your world, it's just a bad trip.
It's just a really, really bad trip.
You feel something hovering behind your head? I've felt that.
Exactly. That's what it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if we assume that it is the 7 cold beers, are they like the 7 human souls where they each have like a... There's like the soul of courage and the soul of justice and whatever.
Well, there's like, so there's the
They're different IPAs.
There's like a, there's definitely a Blue Moon in there. A Guinness.
But what is that? What does that represent, like, in terms of quality?
Yeah, I would say that a Blue Moon represents Midwesternism. It's the
That's true. That's a very important part of Delta.
Or maybe like maybe
some
like
people Spotted will tell you it's Cow, on the East Coast. Like they're wrong. Don't listen to them.
They're wrong. It's for sure in Wisconsin.
I'm saying this.
I've never been to Wisconsin, but I'll co-sign it. Sure.
Yeah. There's like there's, okay, it uses
do,
slang
do you
for
know
water.
About Wisconsin theory?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking? This is legit.
This is real.
This is real.
It's a theory that Deltarune takes place in Wisconsin.
Okay, enlighten me.
Basically, so there's this, obviously, like, there's, like, the water fountain enemy, or, like, the water cooler enemy, or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's called it, or, like, something along those
so
lines.
So, the thing that actually happens is Susie sees all the bottled water in Noelle's fridge and comments she saw her using the bubbler at school after she used it, and it's, like, a very funny gag. But Susie calls a water fountain a bubbler, which is a very specific regional term for a water fountain.
We actually
it's usually only seen
discussion.
In the UK or in Wisconsin or in Australia, I think. Is it also in Boston? I don't think it's also Boston. I think it's just...
what you're telling me is that Wisconsin theory people are in denial that it takes place in the UK because they don't want to have to rethink all of their favorite Florbos having various British accents.
I could see... I would love Spamton with a British accent. I can't lie.
Spamton really does have... I feel like the TV... Britain has some of the best TV presenters in the business. I think that Spamton would kind of clear with a British accent.
I mean, regardless of where the game is set, Spamton could have any accent because he's from the internet.
And Congadero is a very Australian sounding term, so maybe
that is true. That is true.
This could just be Commonwealth theory. We all know from that one video that Ralsei is from New Zealand.
I don't know this one.
Okay, yeah, like
it's literally just a video where Ralsei is dubbed with a very thick Kiwi accent, and it's really funny.
Vampire. Hell yeah. I'd like to pitch. What's a niche accent pickup that would be gas? I think Noelle is Filipino.
Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia. That's a funny sounding name, and I like it.
Yeah, or like Newfoundland, like that part of Canada.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah, like Canadian Noelle does go hard.
I want Susie to have a Desi accent. I think...
Yeah, Susie's... Well, yeah, I think Susie's kind of a brown girl, I can't lie.
Yeah.
She is literally brown in part of Chapter 4.
She's on the team.
She's on the team. I was about to think of...
I can't believe they killed Caillou in the middle of that sentence.
He was starting to think, and then he stopped.
You cut out hard. You cut out really hard for a second. You're back.
Oh, it's very funny. I cut out when I was about to ask what brown girl slur could I give Susie the pass for? And I'm like, I guess the answer is that is not a question the internet wants me to ask.
No, you should ask it again.
No, we gotta refocus back on to Asgore and Des. So I think that there's one thing that we've come back to several times is, was it an accident or was it intentional? And I think that we should kind of put rest to that once and for all. What do each of you think?
I think on a thematic level it has to be accidental, even if it's way funnier.
He has to be under the control of the beer rather than his own inhibitions.
He has to be under the control of... Because they're like souls.
Right? They're like, yeah, but it's just on the level of like the game's themes of control and like who pulls your strings. And the answer is not the answer is that the beer.
The real ironic thing is that, you know, the open road is seen as a place of freedom in like Americana and classic movies and that sort of thing. But really, you know, because he's been drinking, he's not free. And that ties into the classic secret boss thing. That's why he has the black shard.
I think it's also, there's also a level of like, there are no open, like you mentioned, like there's no open roads in Deltarune. It's like, it's suburbia. And I think that suburbia is like being something that's cloying and hard and like claustrophobic is something that's been explored in like a lot of sort of like postmodern sounds like, what do you call it? Kind of pretentious, but genuinely like postmodern American media. Like, it's been like, wow, suburbia sucks, actually.
So here's a thought. So the largest like open empty area we really can like see in hometown is the lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lake is right next to the flower shop. The flower shop is the closest building in town to where the lake is. And there's been some interesting developments about the lake in these chapters with like, you know, it sounds like there's a song coming from it. Maybe there's going to be something, some story moment involving the lake later in the game.
And then also Onion-san, right?
Yeah, Onion-san. There's also the thing in Undertale with the boatman who says like, tra-la-la, rebore, the song coming from the deep. And people think that because he also mentions Gaster, there's like a Deltarune thing going on there. My point is, the water, there's nothing to constrain you. If you got a boat and you went out on that water, you would be truly free because you could go anywhere. There's not even any lines on the road. And Asgore's flower shop is right next to it.
Ah.
I think Asgore is like the resolution to his arc in terms of searching for freedom and resolution. Could be the classic midlife crisis move, and he buys a boat.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I think, like, as you're kind of saying, like, water and dark world are so thematically correlated.
Image depths, right?
Image depths, the queen's bubble, the queen's roar bubbles from the depths. The image is, like, a picture of water, like, super, like, imposed and reframed. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think the... And then obviously like the waterfall in Ralsei's little speech at the beginning of chapter 3. I think like especially the chapter 2 and the teasers for chapter 2, but also chapter 3 a little, kind of give birth to this idea that like darkness is water specifically. And so like having a relation to the lake, Asgore's house having a relation to the lake, I think could meaningfully matter, not just in a troll way.
Keep on this train. I just want to quickly interject with something. How does the, because we constantly see in Chris's home, in the trash can, if you look inside it, they talk about how there's a well-watered crop of flowers in there. How does this relate to the idea of water and Asgore's story and the darkness and all of that?
So, obviously, there is the whole thing of the flowers in the flower shop being in a memorial to Des, right? And
the flowers in the truck, specifically.
My thought was all the flowers were. He became a flower salesman after he stopped being a cop. Expanded on that. Either way, the idea that flowers constantly need watering to survive, with Des being the knight who creates these dark fountains, creates an, I think, intentional parallel of needing to create darkness to sustain something. I think that that's definitely going to come back in chapter 5. I think that we are going to see that come back. And the other thing about beer is that, like, it is a liquid, right? It isn't water, but it's made with water. And it's a liquid that can be drank like water. And so we could see some parallels between water and beer, water sustaining the crops and beer sustaining Asgore, and sort of, you know, and wine sustaining Toriel, even, you know, maybe we'll even go that far in terms of this, like, you know, liquid ketchup sustaining sands. Very true. We see that come back in the fridge. We see the ketchup bottle. We see these liquids that sustain people, and we see The knight creates a liquid that, you know, crosses between worlds, but every character has their own liquid that they use for escapism, which is really the major theme of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, drinking mm-hmm. is a classic thing of escapism. Drinking ketchup is probably escapism for someone. You know, I mean, I could go on.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note on that kind of angle, the only character in the game who the only maiden character in the game who doesn't have a distinct relationship with the liquid is Ralse, right? Because Susie has blood, Chris has chocolate milk, and the other adult characters in Hometown have alcohol. But Ralse specifically does not have any signature liquid. And I think that kind of ties into this idea of like Ralse's lack of escapism or Ralse's lack of like freedom in comparison to the rest of the cast, where they like are able to go on these dark world journeys and have fun and like get lost in the world while Ralse's like in it the whole time.
I think
that's an intentional parallel.
I don't know if I fully agree that Ralse doesn't have a signature liquid, because we know that Ralse does all of his cooking in a giant cauldron.
Ah, so you think he's water and thus most liquidy of
them all. We can even come back to that and say Ralse doesn't cook except for to please Susie and Chris. We learn in chapter 4 he doesn't eat anything he cooks. So maybe this is kind of the exception that proves the rule, in that
also
he does not normally interact with liquid, but he does to serve the Lightners who he knows need and use liquid for escapism.
He literally hosts them a tea party too. I think that.
That's very true.
I really like the idea that it's not about their, like, that it's more about their relationship with liquid than their relationship, like, than their use of liquid. Like, it's more of like what
liquid itself is escapism and freedom. Drink that sweet freedom sauce. He says it. And what does Glooby mean? What does it mean that he's never Glooby? That sounds liquid to me.
Coming back to like Asgore, Toriel, all of that, like a big thing is that we see in Undertale is that both Toriel and Asgore have this like it's fire magic, right? That's like a big part of their like connection, is that you see Asgore use the same kind of like fire sprites as Toriel. I kind of wonder how this I think it's interesting that like both Toriel and Asgore are losing control because of this liquid, and almost have like are losing their, not just the control of themselves, but their identities to this liquid. And they're like, because they're the only ones who are like effectively, like the other adults have other things going on, but like they're the ones who are like indulging in alcohol. And it's like, oh, specifically like this idea of like the identity of this character who's so associated with fire being quenched out by this. Interesting.
I like that. I like that specifically because, you know, Susie mentions, you know, the backstory she has with Toriel and like how she looks up to her as a friend, but then seeing her, you know, drunk in this kind of embarrassing way, she can't even bear to look at her. Susie has to leave the house. She just can't, like, she doesn't want to see her like this. And that really, I think, ties into this theme in terms of like, I mean, yeah, everything you talked about with, you know, losing your sense of identity and self to this liquid that is controlling you.
And it's almost like foreshadowed by the rain itself. It's like to
rain. We should talk about the rain is so perfect for this.
Ooh.
Because you know what rain also does? It makes you lose control of your vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So
I think you can also note that in the weird route, that's the one where you get the cutscene with no rain. And I think that specifically stating that, you know, the you are exerting maximal control in the weird route via visual metaphor related to water is fascinating.
And even related to that, the weird route is thematically, at least in chapter 2, all about ice, which is taking water and turning it from a liquid into a solid, taking away that like flowing agency and making it solid and rigid and forming it in the way that you want it.
Exactly.
Which is also kind of what happens to the Dark Nurse, right? If they leave their world, they solidify and they can no longer
petrify it.
Yeah.
Ah.
So I think there really is something there where it's like flowing water is. I think like liquids are kind of like this oxymoron of like they represent freedom, but they're also like chaotic. But there is this thing of like. Yeah, it's like the snow and the frozen liquids as like a order, but at what cost kind of thing. Like I think there's a thing of like with the drinking portion, it's like loss of control, but loss of control generally, like right, it is like an aimless loss of control and one that's brought on by your own actions, as opposed to like stuff like the prophecy or like being controlled by the soul, which are all like. There is a distinct metaphysical force, either defined in name or not. It is like you can point to and say that is the thing that is controlling the movement of my bead on the toy kind of thing.
Man, I think you know what? I think that in chapter 5, everyone's going to come back to this podcast episode and they're going to be like, holy shit. They predicted everything.
They solved it. They figured out weed theory. They figured out
weed theory. They had liquid theory. They were on this shit, bro. Was this what like an we insider have?
We had theory. We had. We had some bangers.
I think that liquid theory might legitimately have some legs.
There's something to liquid theory, maybe.
Okay, but like dark worlds are related to water theory is true. It's,
No, but I just mean the extension of that. Yeah,
the extension of that is
to the seven cold beers, of course.
To the seven cold beers, and as it relates to the characters in Undertale's relationship to liquid.
Yeah.
And I think this is why Sans is going to go fall in the hole and go into Undertale. It's because he has no liquids. He's a skeleton.
I think he's going to slip on a puddle.
For the first time in his life, he'll lose control and immediately fall to his death in Undertale. Like I'm just imagining like he's in chapter 5 because Asgore kidnaps him to punish him for cucking him, and he just falls in a big hole with like an Undertale sign coming out of it.
This way to Undertale.
Wait, does that make Sans the fallen angel? The prophecy in Undertale. Hold on.
Sans as a prophetic figure is so fascinating. What if he's the tail from hell?
Okay, legitimately, I really am like, what the fuck is the tail from hell? Like,
bro, actually, it's Image Friend. Let's like,
some kind of Undertale.
Oh, that's fucking good.
It's the cat. It's Image Friend the cat.
No, it's not the fucking cat. How is it the cat?
It's Bluey.
It's obviously the cat.
God.
From Cat Petters the RPG.
See, this is the thing where I'm like, there's so much like not esoteric, but like, there's so much shit where it's like, there's intentionality put into making this a part of the game, but it's also so like, it's like so like you have to be like brain rotted to like actually put it all together despite the intentionality.
Wait, but guys. The eggs. It's liquid inside a solid.
There's liquid inside there. Fuck.
It's liquid it's inside viscous. A solid. It's viscous. It's raw. It's gutsy.
You want to know what my brain thinks of when I hear the word glooby? I think of raw egg whites.
That is true. God, that's true.
Yeah, so that's the significance.
Make
of
sure everyone listening to this, theory. Everyone listening to this, fucking pin this for 2026. Yeah, write it down. Come back.
I'm setting a reminder
you'll
on Mackie right now.
You'll see that we were all correct. For the benefit of when this gets 1 million views, LackeyBot is a Discord bot that we use to write reminders.
And every single one of these theories is going to be true because there's actually going to be individual routes for each of them. There's the Asgore accident route. There's the Asgore gets really drunk and remembers that he likes to kill kids around, you know? It's all there.
Toby's always been known for pushing the medium of video games and storytelling in different directions, and Chapter 5 is really going to explore that by making all the imagery from the previous chapters retroactively mean three different things depending on which route you play.
That's actually what they were hinting at with Susie having her own Dark World. You have to go back into three different Dark Worlds in each chapter. That was just like a teaser.
Chapter six, you're just gonna go back to each of the other Dark Worlds two extra times just to like see what's going on in there.
I legitimately think that might be possible. Hold on. Like, I legitimately think that, like...
We have to stop this podcast before we make a real theory.
Yeah. Like, no, we have to make a bunch of real theories while we go. That's the best part.
Mm-hmm. God. Okay. In conclusion, Asgore ran over Des with his truck, and everything in Deltarune is coming... is like converging on this fact, and we've proven it.
Also, Dark Worlds are weed hallucinations.
Also liquids are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I think we've done a good job.
We've done good work. This is what the Delta community needs.
Chat, what are you thinking? W Riz.
I'm just imagining Asgore saying that to himself as he's driving. I really like the idea that Asgore, who is so formal and polite normally, just becomes a Twitch streamer when he starts drinking.
Can we get another 100 gifties if we do all this deal with that drug?